Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle has won.
Welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast. We're going to go through our rapid review for round eight up until the last two games. So the way that we're going to do this each week is that we are going to record our rapid review on Sunday during the day before the last two games. We'll go through the first six games, and then on a Monday, you'll get on the Rugby League Guru podcast the other two games, just so that we can get it out for you guys as soon as the footy finishes. Obviously, if we do it after the footy, you've got to record for an hour, you've got to upload for an hour. All of a sudden, it's 8, 9 o'clock. We'd rather just get it out to you guys straight away, and then the last two games, we'll be able to give you our reaction the next day on the podcast, and then our deeper reaction on the Bloke in a Bar podcast as well. So we're going to go through the first six games of round eight. Today's episode brought to you by the Roo Crew, the Rugby League Guru Patreon. Make sure you go and hit the link in the description. Come and check it out, guys. There is so much content in there. It is unbelievable. Especially if you're a Supercoach player, there's an absolute stack in there. You guys will love it. We first of all had an idea to have just a Rugby League Patreon, then a Supercoach Patreon. Then we started the first one and just there were so many Supercoach players in there that I just thought, you know what, let's just keep it all in one place. Let's keep the value absolutely second to none in there. So $8 a month, just $2 a week. You get all the videos of all of our podcasts that we do throughout the week, well, pretty much all of them, probably 80% of them, that you only get the audio on the podcast. You can get the video in there. You get your questions answered. You get direct access to me. I put all my Supercoach trades up there, all my rumors that you hear throughout the week. The last few weeks, we've hit a few. When Nathan Cleary would return, people in the Roo Crew already knew that Jack Cleary was going to sign. We got that one, Scotty Sorensen, Ethan Sanders making his debut. All of our mail and everything that we believe is reasonably strong, we pop in there for you guys to take. So if you would like to join the Roo Crew, hit the link in the description, $2 a week, $8 a month. Jump in, see if you like it. If you don't, good as gold, hit the frog and toad and just enjoy all the free content we put out each and every week. Let's get into the first game. Obviously, we had the three Anzac Day games, and what a day it was. Fuck, I enjoyed myself. A cracking day there. The first game, the Gold Coast Titans, 27 points to 24 over the New Zealand Warriors. And how good was this? Even if you're a Warriors fan, as disappointed as you would have been, fuck, it was good to see the Titans get a win. Personally, I thought the Warriors were going to absolutely give it to them in this one. But I egg all over my face. The Titans, a really, really good game here. Still conceded 24 points, but when you're going up against one of the best teams in the competition, it just is what it is. The Titans, they just had to find a way to get a win. And to be honest with you, I think their performances over the last few weeks, they've been leading up to a W. In hindsight, obviously easy to say that. But I think even last week, they probably played well enough to deserve a win against the Manly Seagulls. Great to see them get it this week. As I said, even as a Warriors fan, I think you'd have to be happy for them, you know what I mean? But credit to the Gold Coast Titans, really good performance. AJ Brimson, he just looks like an out-and-out fullback to me. I think he has forced their hand. Be really interesting when Jaden Campbell does return, what they do there. I've said it the whole time, I understand why they weren't playing AJ Brimson at fullback, but I don't think there's any doubting that he's the best fullback at the club. Now, Jaden Campbell, he is an out-and-out fullback as well. It's easier to play AJ somewhere else than it is years to play Jaden Campbell somewhere else simply because he can't defend. But honestly, I just don't know if you can leave AJ Brimson out of that one jersey moving forward. So interesting to see what they do there. Dave Fifita was tremendous as well. Came off the bench, scored a try again, just got through a stack of work. 61 minutes. A try, 131 run meters, a line break assist. He had a try assist. How many tackles? He had three offloads, three fucking offloads. This guy is an absolute maniac. 29 tackles, zero missed. For Fifita, he's going to be a very interesting talking point in Supercoach. I think we're all going to have to rush to find a way to get him in there. The other guy I want to give a big rap to from the Gold Coast Titans is Tanner Boyd. He has copped shit left, right, and center the last few weeks. And as I said last week, I don't think it's all fair, to be honest with you. I think that the Titans haven't done the best thing by him on a number of occasions throughout his career so far. But scored a try, kicked a field goal on this one, had a line break. He was fantastic, Tanner Boyd. So shout out to him. He's been under a heap of pressure. I thought he performed well here. Our boy Jermaine Joloff, another good performance. 60 minutes, 162 run meters, 77 post contact, 42 tackles, zero missed. When Tino went down, we tipped to you. He's the guy to watch over the next few weeks, Jermaine Joloff. He's been slept on for a long time. He is a fucking good footballer, and he's been fantastic over this period without Tino. So shout out to Jermaine Joloff. Very, very good to see. I thought Beau Fermor was pretty good as well. Got through a heap of work. Cleese Haas starting to come into his own. I thought Chrissy Randall was great. It felt like he got through a stack of work. 66 minutes, Chris Randall. 41 tackles, only the one miss. I think he had a line break assist and a try assist in there. Very, very good player, Chris Randall. Tough as nails, but just a good footballer as well. Big fan of him. Brian Kelly, I thought he was solid too in attack, as he always is. Let's have a look at the Warriors. Obviously, you know, the spine. Chance, he was brilliant as per. One try, ran for 289 run meters. So he almost clicked over into the 300 mark once again. That's from 26 runs, 94 post contact, one line break assist, four tackle breaks. I mean, he just keeps doing the damn thing, Chance. And if you got on him for Supercoach a couple of weeks ago, full credit to you. It has been a cracking decision. Dallin Matenis-Lesniak, no try this week. I know a lot of you Supercoach players were relying on him, but he didn't score a try, and he scored 48 in Supercoach. That's delicious. You love to see that. I thought he was good, 192 metres. RTS, 182 metres. Solid as well. SJ had a big game in attack, doing a couple of nice things. Adam Fanua Blake, we took the piss out of Timmy Williams the other day, saying, well, he might score two tries. That was your breadcrumb. Of course, he comes out and scores two tries AFB. Ran for 217 run metres, 98 post-contact for AFB. Only the four tackle breaks. I thought it would have been a little bit more, but he was fantastic AFB. A really, really big game from him. We had Wade Egan went down at one point, got back up. He was okay, thank God. That was a bit scary for a moment there. Jackson Ford, solid again, got through a heap more work than what he did last week. Laban, we haven't really seen too much of him this year. It's good to see him in this game. I think he got injured or something. He only played 45 minutes, so he came off, but he looked good on that left edge when he was out there. And Tohu Harris, we spoke about him just being a warrior of all warriors, got through his work once again this week. I thought bringing Dylan Walker back into the side, he really struggled at certain points defensively. You could tell Dylan Walker was absolutely gassed, but I love that the coach pushed him, made him stay out there. I think he jumped on the left edge, ended up playing 54 minutes. Dylan Walker came up with a key try assist to Adam Fanua Blake as well. But yeah, you could tell, obviously match fitness lacking for Dill at the moment, but I think he's going to be, as he was last year, a really important player for them as the season moves forward. But shout out to the Gold Coast Titans. Shout out to Desi Hasler. Shout out to all you Titans fans that have hung around. It has been a tough, tough few weeks, but a much deserving win there. The traditional Anzac game, the Dragons versus the Sydney Roosters. Good God, 60 points to 18. Personally, I did not see this result coming. I thought the Dragons were going to pull an upset. How wrong I was. I will say this, and look, the Dragons, you know, they didn't play well. They deserved to get thumped in this one. Losing Moses Sully was really, really crucial to them early. Not so much for losing Sully. He's been going good, no doubt about it. But the fact they had to move Tommy Eisenhuth out into the centers, they lost him through the middle, and I thought it cost them a lot of direction. And you know what? The Dragons, I love him. I absolutely love him to bits, but fuck, I thought Ben Hunt was all over the place in this game. And, you know, it makes me look back now and go, well, when the Dragons are playing good, is it just because Zach Lomax is coming down with those kicks and they're getting points on the board? Because they were just all over the place the other day. And Ben Hunt, fuck, some of the decisions he was making, especially some of his last tackle options, just all over the place. Very disappointing. Missed five tackles, Benny Hunt. Came up with a couple of errors too, I believe. Two errors. And you know what? Some of the things he came up with wouldn't have gone down as errors on his sheet. But geez, just some really poor moments from Ben Hunt. That's very unlike him. I thought Tyrell Sloan got caught out on a number of occasions defensively as well. There was one that he made a good one-on-one tackle on. I believe it was Nat Butcher. He played the ball. Sammy Walker jumped in dummy half. Him and Marnie were running, and Walker, as he did all day, every time he noticed Tyrell Sloan was out of position, he just kicked early and took him on. And it was this moment here that really disappointed me from Sloan, when he was standing next to the play of the ball. He saw what was happening and he gave up. Now, I know you'll sit at home and go, oh, he's offside, he couldn't do anything. He can run himself onside, he can at least fucking try in that moment. And it's those little moments where I look at Sloan and I go, mate, you are so fucking quick. I don't want to see you give up in those moments. At least get through and compete. Don't just give up on that moment. And I'm sure that's something that Flano will sit down with him and talk about this week as well. Caught out of position a few times. He's been really, really improved this year, Tyrell Sloan. But on the weekend, we just saw those things that have disappointed us in the past creep back into his game. Interesting to see how he bounces back. Keen to see how he goes next week there. But look, losing Sully was a big loss. You lost him. You also had to move Tommy Eisenhuth, which really hurt the Dragons, I thought. I think Eisenhuth, I've been saying it for a few weeks, but I think he's a little bit more important than what we give him credit for. He obviously scored a try in this one. Lomax got a pass out to him, which was nice. But yeah, as a whole, I think he was a really, really big loss through the middle. I don't love that they're playing Jacob Little for less minutes now. I'm not a huge New Brown fan, to be completely honest with you, and just coming into the club 2 weeks ago, playing 35 minutes is a good whack. I think I would leave Jacob Little out there for a little bit longer. Had a few poor defensive plays in this game, as he did last week as well. So maybe that's got something to do with it. But yeah, that has surprised me a little bit. Jack DeBellin obviously scored the try, got through a heap of work. He's having a really good season, just playing as an out-and-out middle forward. If you listen to Flano and his commentary last year on the Dragons, he quite often spoke about that. So doesn't overly shock me to see him playing that sort of a role. But yeah, disappointing day out by the Dragons. Not much more to say on that, realistically. For the Roosters, once again, less is more for James Tedesco. Seemingly when he's less involved and he's not having a million touches and taking a million runs, I think they look better. And you have a look at the weekend. He had 32 touches of the football. He passed it on 18 occasions. That's unreal. That's more than half the time Teddy's getting. He's passing the football, which makes him a more dangerous player, in my opinion. And I think they look so much better when he is doing that sort of stuff. You have a look at this Roosters side. This is a side that was missing Daniel Tupu. They were also missing Victor Radley, who I think Victor Radley's been their best and most consistent player so far this year. So to get up on Anzac Day without those two, very, very impressive performance. Good to see Dom Young, good little bounce back. Ran for 200 metres, scored his try. He's been out for a couple of weeks, obviously copped it left, right and centre. Three line breaks, had a really good game, Dom Young. Seven tackle breaks as well, so shout out to him. Manu, dangerous as always, lethal. Two meat pies, 150 odd run metres, would have had four or five tackle breaks, was very solid. But obviously Sam Walker, the star of the show. I believe he was the Anzac Day player of the match. He was incredible. Sammy Walker, his short kicking game, as I said earlier, he just picked out Tyrell Sloan and went, sweet, I'm going to fuck with you all day. If you're out of position, I'm going to make you pay for it. And we'd love to see that. Once again, I think Luke Keary said it after the game. We've been saying it on Bloke in a Bar and on the Guru podcast for weeks. Sam Walker, he should be the guy with the keys, and they build their footy around them. I think for too long, they've been trying to build Sam Walker around the Roosters. You've got a unique talent like him who's fucking hard to defend. I'd be building the game around Sammy Walker. And you have a look back to when they were playing their best footy over the last few years, which I would say was during the COVID period when he first came in. Trent Robinson built a game plan around Sammy Walker, and he was sort of forced to do it then. But I sort of think it's the way they have to go. And Luke Keary sort of said the same thing after their game the other day. So shout out to him. Very, very good performance there. Thought Lindsay Collins had a few errors from memory, but he was pretty solid as well. Just the one error for Lindsay Collins, sorry. Angus Crichton was massive. He was enormous. Going great guns, Angus Crichton. 42 tackles only, sorry, 42 post-contact. He ran for 116 metres, as did Nat Butcher. Back rowers both went really well. Five offloads for Angus Crichton. You don't see players hit the fiver, the Michelle Pfeiffer, all that often, but he was great, Angus. So shout out to the Roosters. Really good performance. Missing guys. A few things going against them. The big talking point, Terrell May. What is going on? I cannot get a read on what minutes he's going to get each and every week. He'll be a big talking point when it comes to Supercoach. plenty to dive into there. All right, let's move to the next game, the Melbourne Storm and the South Sydney Rabbitohs, 54-20. Look, for the Melbourne Storm, the spine was outstanding. We probably don't need to touch on them too much. All four of them were just fucking incredible. They're such a good footy side when they're humming. Cam Munster was the star of the show, though. His performances to put Xavier Coates in for 3 meat pies, I think it was in the first half, was just fucking wild. Then he went off with an injury. But some of those kicks that Munster did, and this is what we talk about with Mad Dog, that there's just certain things he can do that most guys can't. And when he's on one of these days, you just sit back and go, well, fuck, what am I meant to do? You know what I mean? The first try that he set up where he chipped over to the corner, we took Sean Bloor for a try in this one. My God, Sean Bloor was standing there going, mate, let me put the ball down. And Money goes, dummy, neat little chip over the top. And it was just perfect. He's an absolute freak monster when he's on. Look, the Melbourne Storm, full credit to them. They are a team that are not going to beat themselves. They flexed their muscles the other night. They were very, very impressive. I thought both of the back rowers were great. Sean Bloor and Eli Katoa, both are very strong. Eli Katoa was really good in this game. He was great. Josh King was good. Nelson starting to get back into his work. Only played 30-odd minutes here. He'll be better for the run. They were just tremendous. And Cam Munster, he was the star of the show. Absolutely killed it. Joe Chan scored a meat pie for us as well. Fuck, he's doing us overs in Supercoach. He just keeps churning out some money for us, which is great to see. And this is just a Craig Bellamy performance. If you're going to come down to Melbourne, as we said last week, you best bring your shovel and have a red hot fucking dig, because the Melbourne Storm, they are not going to beat themselves, and they are looking like one of the teams to beat this season. Thought it was Pappy's best game as well. He was electric, popping up everywhere, 2 line breaks, couple of tackle breaks, some nice passing moments and whatnot. A couple of errors, but he was really good, Pappy. Sniffing around the ruck, looking dangerous. You love to see it. Melbourne looking really good. For South Sydney, look, this will sound fucking dreadful because they got beat by 30, but geez, there were some moments where you just saw a pulse, and that's what we've been waiting to see for a number of weeks now from South Sydney. I think, you know, I've been saying it for ages, I think you just need to let Cody Walker play fucking halfback and let him take over this team. When you saw Cody actually take control of this side the other day, they looked really good in moments. They didn't do it for the whole 80 minutes. I'm not saying they did. But fuck, I just think when you got a guy like Cody Walker and your team's desperate for points, they're desperate for a spark, just let him go. Just let him play halfback. I'm happy if you want to play Hawkins at 6, sure, move Latrell to 6, Jack. I don't really care what you do. But Cody Walker has to be leading this side around. I think the writing is on the wall there. And even though, and I've said it for weeks, and you know, people say to me, oh, he's not a halfback. I don't give a fuck if he's not a halfback. It's not about him being a halfback. It's about him potentially being their best halfback at the moment. And I think that's the play. I think that's the direction they have to go in here. I think Cody Walker has to be the 7. And I think they actually looked okay the other day when he was leading the side around. Outside of that, I thought Jai Gray was really good. The fullback that I love had a couple of errors, but he just went at the game all day. He ran for 196 run meters. He's having a red hot fucking crack, Jai Gray. And there is no denying that whatsoever. Gagai scored a double. Good to see. I think he's played 2 first grade games for 3 tries now. One of them in Las Vegas, one of them in Melbourne. A pretty wild storyline there. Just on South Sydney, fucking Tane, mate. He's a good player, Tane Milne. You know, he's got these brain explosions in him. He's a good player, but he just can't get out of his own way, Tane. I don't know what he was thinking on that last play. And it's, you know, it's not the first time that Tane's done something in the NRL that I've just sat there and gone, bro, what are you doing? Just you run hard, you tackle hard, you do all these things well. You've got a couple of errors, which, you know, South Sydney are obviously happy to wear, but they can't wear it when you do this sort of stuff. And I know Tane, I worked with his missus for years, a fantastic family. But geez, fuck, how many times do we have to go through this with Tane? You know, the amount of sin bins and the occasional send-off and whatnot, I think he's going to get 2 weeks for that. Personally, I would have thrown the book at him. I would have given him 4 weeks for that, personally. You just can't do it. It's just brain dead stuff against, you know, it doesn't really matter who it's up against either, but you know, to do it to Cam Munster, one of the superstars of our game. Like, what happens if he fucking injures Cam Munster and rules him out for the season there? Just for what? And he's very lucky that Cam Munster wasn't injured. As I said, I like Tane. I think I wouldn't be picking him on the wing. I'd be bringing him off the bench as like a middle forward, like they do with Fiji. He's a talented player with ability, Tane. But the one thing that has always held Tane back is fucking Tane. He just needs to level it out and just stick to a very, just a very strict four or five things that you need to do every single week. And he's a very good NRL player, Tane, but just can't seem to get out of his own way. Outside of that, not a heap to touch on. Cam Murray, very solid again. Got through a heap of work. Colin Mutungi, good. But yeah, it was good to see Cody Walker playing some good footy again. I think he had a 2 line break assists, 2 try assists. Was really good, Cody. Defensively, just so many missed tackles from South Sydney. I don't have the exact numbers, but I'm looking through here and there are multiple guys with multiple missed tackles. You just can't be doing that against a side like Melbourne. And if you do that against any team in the NRL, they're going to punish you. This Melbourne side, they'll make you walk all the way home. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that was the Anzac Day games. All the performances and everything, the way the NRL went about it, I thought all was fantastic and great to see. All right, Friday night. The Manly Seagulls, 32 points to 18 over the Para Eels. We'll start with Manly first. DCE came up with a couple of poor moments, but some of the moments he came up with were fucking brilliant. That's some of the best ball playing you'll see down that right edge. He threw the big dummy, Sivo doing star jumps, Toyota ads in the middle there, plays through the line, lets the defenders come up and make errors and just throws a lovely little pill there. You know, there's playing before the line, there's playing at the line, then there's playing through the line. Playing through the line, it's the hardest ball playing to do, and it's only the most mature and best halfbacks that are able to play through the line at NRL level. And DCE, he's just in his fucking imperial moments at the moment. He's just looking sensational. I absolutely love that. Ruben Garrick had a great game. Olakau'atu obviously picked out young Sanders and went at him, as he should. You get a young halfback out there, you should be going at them every day of the week. Tommy Trbojevic scored a try outside of that, was pretty quiet. Another interesting talking point for Supercoach this week. But yeah, look, Manly, a very good performance. I thought Nathan Brown was great. Paseka was unreal, doing really good things. I thought Corey Waddell had a good game as well. He was popping up everywhere, getting through a heap of work. So good all-round performance by the Manly Seagulls. It was looking bad at one stage. Obviously, the Parramatta Eels, they started pretty well. I think they went in halftime and they were up from memory. Yeah, 14 points to 6. Olakau'atu got binned. It looks like he's going to miss 2 weeks or so. Obviously, when I said before, he had a good performance outside of that moment. That was pretty ugly. Looks like he could miss 2 weeks. Looks like DCE could as well. So that's going to be interesting to see how that impacts the Manly Seagulls. But down 14 points to 6, the Parramatta Eels looked really good as well. And, you know, they're well and truly in this game towards the back end outside of just some ridiculous moments, which we'll talk about now with Parramatta. You know, big talking point as well. At the end of the day, it was 5 tries to 4. Ruben Garrick, he kicked 5 from 5 conversions. Parramatta kicked 0 from 4. So there's 8 points that goes begging. It was only 5 tries to 4. So something to be aware of there, that maybe the scoreline is a little bit misleading there. But yeah, look, Mike Acevo, we have to talk about it. We spoke about it in the Roo Crew the other day. Like, fuck. I watched him play New South Wales Cup the other day, and I'm sitting there watching him play these reserve graders going, mate, you are such a fucking good player. You should not be here. He goes in the NRL and he does what we all expect him to do. Scores 3 tries, looks amazing. And then once again, just comes up with a careless, dumb moment. And for me, this is where if I'm Parramatta, I have to look around the room and go, hey, I mean, this is a guy who has got, you know, one of the best bodies you could ever have for a winger. His run meters per year coming out of his own end are going down. 4 years in a row, he's coming up with these plays. He just got sent to reserve grade. He gets brought back up. They're in desperate times to win for their coach. The coach backs him and says, okay, I'm going to put you back into the side. And he comes up with this unnecessary, just stupid play. And, you know, I don't even feel like I'm going hard on Sevo because his captain said the exact same thing. He just sat there and went, fuck, what is going on? There's 10 minutes left on the clock. They're well and truly in this game. He gets sent from the field for 10 minutes, and then you see the Manly Seagulls run in 2 tries in that game and they end up winning by 12. It's just, and I'm not saying Parramatta would have won if Sivo didn't do this, but I'll tell you what, if Sivo doesn't do that, if he just gets up, jumps into marker and does what he's meant to fucking do, he gives the Parramatta Eels an opportunity to maybe win that game, and he just threw it, just flushed it away. So frustrating. I can't imagine how frustrated you Parramatta Eels fans would be. And, you know, if you go and have a look through his judicial record, he's got a bad record of doing dumb shit like this. And eventually, like, when's he going to get it? Is throwing away this game enough? I mean, he was just in reserve grade. He comes back up. It's just just so frustrating. I feel for you, Parramatta Eels fans. I thought Gutho, he tried his heart out all day. I know that we give, well, not me, but I know a lot of people give shit to Gutho for, you know, the whinging and all that. And sometimes it does annoy me as well, to be fair. But, I mean, you cannot possibly question the effort he put in this game. He was everywhere, Gutho. I thought the debutant was really good. Ethan Sanders, good to see. You know, it doesn't get much harder than marking Olakau'atu in your debut game, but I thought he did really, really well. Obviously, you know, he missed a few tackles late that led to try. But I've watched a lot of Sanders and whatnot. If you go and have a look at his reserve grade stats, I think he's tackling at about 87% over the last few weeks in New South Wales Cup. This was a huge test for him. It was a very, very tough test. And you could say he failed it, but I think Sanders did really well with the ball in hand. He was tremendous. He wasn't overawed by the moment. He played straight. He played direct. And he just got one of the hardest guys to tackle in rugby league on his day. I mean, Olakau'atu, when he's in that sort of a form, I mean, he can make Nate Cleary. He can make Joey Johns. He can make some of the best defensive halves I've seen look very bad. So I'm not reading into it too much. I thought Dill Brown was really good. He ran the ball a lot, which is what we want to see. I feel like they loosened their structure a little bit just to let Dill play what's in front of him, which I thought worked really well. Poor old Shaw Lane. Fuck, he had a tough game, Lane. Obviously, he got the bump early, so maybe that threw him out a little bit. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because, yeah, I don't feel like Shaw Lane was all there. Had a very poor game. Hopgood was good. Ryan Madison, solid again, but yeah, very disappointing for Parramatta, especially when they worked that hard to get themselves into that game and they put in so much effort to get themselves there. To throw it all away like that, yeah, very, very disappointing for you Parramatta fans. I feel for you. I really do. Let's move on to the Saturday games, and I will be honest with you guys. I had an engagement party for this one, so I've tried to sort of catch up on bits and pieces of it, but I'm talking very much so from highlights and from watching the game sort of from a distance, so take what I say as you will. But every time I looked up and I was watching this Broncos v Tigers game, I felt like the Broncos were just making more errors than ever, and they were still leading, and, you know, normally when you watch games, you go, oh my God, what the fuck's going on here? But that just seems to be Broncos footy. They're not afraid to make errors. We've spoken about it a lot. They're one of the weirdest teams I have ever fucking seen, that they just don't care. They can be making errors, playing poorly, but they just know it. Don't worry, there's a try around the corner. We'll get there, which, once again, you want to say you're not going to beat the top teams with that sort of footy, but they did beat the top teams with that sort of footy last year, and they almost won the premiership with that sort of footy. So they're a really hard team to analyse. I'm really keen to hear what Kempe has to say about them. Although Reece Walsh was very good. Payne Haas, he was obviously tremendous. You had the Adam Reynolds, the Jock Madden, and the Reece Walsh injuries. I think Madden's probably the worst of them. It sounds like the other two boys will be okay. But yeah, look, got players back. Lost Ezra Mam, lost Selwyn Cobbo. Everyone just did a job out there for the Brisbane Broncos. If you have a look at the stats, like, the stats are possession was 50% each. The Tigers completed at 72%. The Broncos completed at 68%. Advantage Tigers. All runs, the Tigers had 188. The Broncos had 181. Advantage Tigers. Run meters, the Broncos won that, to be fair. Post contact meters, the Tigers won that. Tackle breaks, 33 and 32, about even. About even, shout out to it. Like the stats, 17 offloads for the Tigers to 6 for the Broncos. 450 receipts to the Tigers, 392 to the Broncos. 264 passes for the Tigers, 215 for the Broncos. I mean, like, there's just all these stats sort of point to kick defusal, 100% for the West Tigers, 67% for the Bronx. There's just so many things here that point to the Tigers should have been in this game. Effective tackle percentage, the Tigers won that as well. Tackles made, the Tigers won that. Missed tackles, 32 to 33. Just about dead even there. 13 errors apiece. Penalties conceded, 8 for the Broncos, 4 for the Tigers. It's just, this Broncos side, they are just bizarre how they just manage to fuck up as much as they can, but they just score it and it doesn't worry them. They're such an interesting footy side to watch. And look, as I said, guys, I won't go as in depth on this game because I will catch up on it in more depth today before the bloke show tomorrow. But yeah, they're just such a bizarre little footy side to watch and how they go about their business and whatnot. It is just wild. Reece Walsh, mate, they keep offering us $2.20, $2.30 for him as an anytime try scorer. He scores every week. You can lock it in every single week. Surely he's got to be getting into those $1.90, $1.80 ranges soon. It's just outrageous. Good to see Dean Mariner back. Scored a good try. Good run meters. He was solid. Adam Reynolds, good once again. Yeah, look, a good performance by the Broncos. They do what they do. Paddy Carrigan kills it again. 175 run meters, 33 tackles, 2 offloads. Same shit, different day. Pat Carrigan's an absolute weapon. Good to see Payne Haas back in first grade. Came back with a bang. Scored a try, 50 minutes. Only 140 run metres, but I think we look at that and go, oh, 140 run metres for Payne Haas. That's quiet, but he was still huge for them. Very good performance there by the Brisbane Broncos. For the Tigers, guys, scored late in this one. Didn't really help themselves throughout the game from what I saw. You obviously had the Finu one, which was just a bit of a brain explosion, a Simbin there, which really hurt. Losing Appy hurt them as well, but... Yeah, I think the game was sort of gone by that point, to be completely honest with you. I love the way that Galvin plays. I love watching him. Wasn't his greatest game of all time, but I just love the way that he goes at it. He just never stops fucking trying, Galvin. 20 tackles, zero missed against the Brisbane Broncos. It's pretty damn good. I respect this kid a lot and think he's got such a big future in our game. I thought Brent Naden was pretty good. 122 run meters there. I thought from what I saw, he was solid. Maybe defensively, there was a few missed tackles there. You guys will have the context. I don't. But whenever I looked up, I thought he was going good. It would have been an interesting game if he didn't have that Finu moment and if Appy plays the whole thing. But personally, I still think the Broncos would have got the job done pretty convincingly there. Let's move to the next game, the last game that we'll touch on today. We've got the North Queensland Cowboys and the Penrith Panthers. Actually turned out to be a decent game here. 26 points to 20 was entertaining, if nothing else. Brian To'o was an absolute maniac. I think he ended up with 21 tackle breaks in this game. Fucking outrage. It's what we keep talking about, man. He's doing things that we haven't seen before and we're still sleeping on him. 227 run meters off 18 hit-ups, 2 line breaks, 21 tackle breaks. The rest of the team didn't combine for 21 tackle breaks. He's an absolute maniac, Brian To'o, and he probably makes up half of the missed tackles from the Cowboys as well. He was very good, Brian To'o, and good to see Nath Cleary return. Wasn't outstanding, got through the game. I think he had a try assist in there, which was a bit 50-50, but had a try assist in there. Threw a nice pass to Jill Edwards for him to score. Just went about his work, Nathan Cleary. Did what he had to do. But yeah, good all-round performance. Brian To'o, as we said, he was tremendous. Dylan Edwards, 220 run meters, a line break. He had 8 tackle breaks himself. He was very, very good. Obviously, without Leota, without Scotty Sorensen, plenty of guys missing there. So not an ideal situation for the Penrith Panthers. Next man up. Stuff they just get the job done. Had a bit of a scare towards the back end of this game, but managed to hang on. I think Ivan Cleary, he'll be pretty disappointed with conceding 20 points. Interesting to see Taruva not in this side. He's decided to leave next year. I'm not quite sure if he's been punished, if he was injured. I haven't quite heard, but that's an interesting one to watch there. Paul Alamotti come in, scored a brilliant try, a runaway intercept. Very, very good. And yeah, from the 43rd moment on, the Penrith Panthers didn't score. In fact, from that moment on, they sort of lost this game around about 12 or 16 nil or something like that. So I don't think Ivan will be stoked with that. I'm not quite sure who they play next week, but I'm expecting the Panthers to be really up for that one there. For the North Queensland Cowboys, fuck, it was scrappy. When you have a look at their missed tackles for the Cows, my God, pretty wild when you have a look at the amount of missed tackles they had. Just reading down the numbers of missed tackles, 5, 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 3, 3, 4, 3, 1. Once again, what we wanted to see improve from the Cowboys, we didn't really get it. I know they stayed in this game and it was a very brave effort to stay in it, but fuck, they've got to start defending points. They've got to pick their defense up. I know they can score points. We're well aware of that, but they've got to start defending like a top eight side if they plan to feature in finals footy this year. They've got a good run coming over the next few weeks, so I'm expecting a big few games from the North Queensland Cowboys over the next few weeks, but yeah, they've got plenty to improve on. Although Kyle Felt and Val Holmes did plenty of work coming out of their own end. Tommy Chester got injured. That'll probably see Valame come in, which I'm very excited about. Keen to see how he goes. Valame's already inside. Valia, who came from the New Zealand Warriors, young kid that I've always really liked. Keen to see him go around. Chad Townsend, he got injured late. Not sure how serious that is. You might see. Oh, my God, I'm shooting a complete blank on his name. I can see his head. Used to be at the Cowboys, went to the Newcastle Knights. You guys can tell me in the comments. He's playing for the North Pride at the moment. You might see him come in. Still shooting a blank on his name, which is bizarre. You've also, you know, in the forwards, I thought that despite a few errors, I thought that Ruben Cotter, he just went all day, 66 minutes there. Big impact. Did have a couple of errors, though, which is disappointing from Cotter. 2 errors there. Nanai scored a nice try. Fine Fuiaki was very good as well. Nice little try there. Reece Robson, few errors, a number of missed tackles as well from what I saw. But yeah, look, good to see the Cowboys hang in this game and you go, wow, they only lost by 6 to the Panthers. It's good to see. But I personally think Todd Payton will just go in there and go, fuck, we need to start defending better than this. This needs to be our focus. We know we can score points. We know we can beat up shit sides. We need to start defending well week to week, and we need to start defending well against these top sides. So I wouldn't say a step backwards by the Cowboys by any means, but I do think the scoreline here and, you know, the way they're able to put on points, I think it does still cover a lot of issues the North Queensland Cowboys have up there. So, yeah, take from that what you will. As I said, guys, those last two games, I was sort of watching from distance, a bit of highlights here and whatnot. So we'll watch them again tonight before we go down into Bloke in a Bar and have a bit more analysis for you there. The Newcastle Knights game is about to kick off, so we're going to go sink our teeth into that. Hopefully Kai Pierce-Paul crosses for the first try because we've carried on a fucking treat there. But we're going to go and enjoy those two games this afternoon. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon footy. You would have already watched it by the time you're watching this, so ignore that. But with the last two games, we will have a review coming tomorrow on the Guru Podcast, so stay tuned for that. Thanks for joining us once again, guys. Today's episode brought to you by the Roo Crew, the Rugby League Guru Patreon. The link is in the description. Go and sign up, have a look. There's like 200 bits of content in there from the first month, so honestly, $2 a week, you get like so much fucking content in there. It is wild. A few things every single day. All of my breaking news, my rumors, all my Supercoach thought process throughout the weekend. You get our Supercoach stats, all the videos from all the podcasts we do each week. So if you're a Guru fan, jump in there. We've got merchandise for Magic Round coming very soon. The Roo Crew, you guys.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We'll get first dibs on that. You know our stuff sells out very, very quickly. So you would want to make a move in there if you want to get some merch for Caxton Round. We're calling it Caxton Round because I don't plan to leave there. I'll be singing schooners all weekend on Caxton Street. Might see the stadium occasionally, but I plan to be on Caxton Street. Thoroughly enjoying myself. We've got the live show at Lefty's on Friday afternoon, and then you'll see me hovering around enjoying a few schooners over the weekend. Cannot wait to see you all up there for Caxton Round.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.